even while considering the plethora of information that's going to be available to you because you watched this video, the main point of this video is that you're not going to see and hear and know what you need to see and hear and know if you get your information only from mainstream media. The narrative is being managed in a variety of ways. When you are given information, it's twisted out of shape by the corporate narrative managers. But even more often, and we've really seen this with the Bernie campaign, you're simply not given the information that's available. So today I have a couple of articles for you that will show you the truth that you need to know about Joe Biden and about the DNC. One is by David Sirota, a regular on this show, and the other is by Caitlin Johnstone, also a regular on this show. Sit back and enjoy. Team Biden now signals austerity despite campaign pledges. Biden's top advisor made a hugely important declaration and almost nobody noticed it. By David Sirota. Update: Joe Biden's campaign has now responded to our story and the firestorm it set off. The Democratic Convention has sucked up all the political oxygen in America, so much so that most people miss Team Biden signaling that it may back off the entire agenda it is campaigning on. This monumental declaration went almost completely unnoticed for an entire day, which is a genuinely disturbing commentary on how the biggest of big political news gets routinely ignored. To review the situation, earlier this month, Bloomberg News reported that Biden's campaign rolled out a $3.5 trillion economic program over the past month, one that, quote, promises to invest in clean energy and caregiving, buy more made in America goods, and start narrowing the country's racial wealth gaps, unquote. This said, the news service was proof that Biden no longer adhered to an ideology of austerity and deficit hawkery, which would be good news. But then on the eve of Biden's convention speech, the Democratic nominee's top aide suggested to Washington reporters that in fact, that's not true. Here's the key excerpt. Former Delaware Senator Ted Kaufman, a Biden confidant who succeeded him in the Senate, predicted during a Wall Street Journal Newsmakers live interview Tuesday that a large increase in federal spending would be difficult to achieve in 2021. When we get in, the pantry is going to be bare, said Mr. Kaufman, who is leading Mr. Biden's transition team. When you see what Trump's done to the deficit, forget about COVID-19, all the deficits that he built with the incredible tax cuts, so we're going to be limited. Oh, baby. If you're even a little bit savvy about all this stuff, and especially if you know anything about modern monetary theory, you can see where this is going. This is austerity. This is the same austerity bullshit that Biden has been spouting his whole life. This is pure new Democrat bullshit. Back to the story. Economist Dean Baker goes over exactly how destructive and insane this ideology is, as he says, the idea that we would not address pressing needs like climate change, childcare, and healthcare because we are concerned about the debt burden is close to crazy. As long as the economy is not near its capacity, and we are the wealthiest country in the world, there is zero reason not to spend to address these priorities. And if you click on David's piece in the information section, then you can go to this one that he links to. What I find particularly troubling is that Kaufman's quote made it into the Wall Street Journal yesterday. The newspaper tweeted it out early in the morning. It sat out there for almost 24 hours, an eternity in the current news ecosystem. And yet, as far as I can tell, nobody noticed. Hell, the journal's tweet had all of one retweets on it as of this morning. I snipped Kaufman's quote and tweeted it out at 1 a.m. last night when I first saw it, and thankfully my tweet pushing it out there has now belatedly moved it around into the political bloodstream. Lots of people are tweeting about it and commenting on it all this morning. That's good. I guess I'm glad my Twitter feed has at least some minor value. However, the fact that this wasn't huge news the moment it came out is troubling. This monumental declaration was in a major newspaper. it should have set off immediate alarm bells from all the think tanks, unions, and advocacy groups in Washington whose job it is to make sure that this kind of destructive austerity ideology does not once again take hold in the Democratic Party. There should have been press releases and statements of outrage and congresspeople on TV talking about it. But for an entire day, there was nothing until it was shamed into the conversation. This is not the first time there's been silence on stuff like this. Less than a month ago, Biden explicitly promised his Wall Street donors that despite his public campaign promises, he will not be pushing new legislation to change corporate behavior. That happened, and it basically went unreported. You didn't see it on MSNBC or hear it on NPR. You didn't see it anywhere except for right here at TMI. TMI is too much information. That's David's news outlet. And he gives you a link where you can become a subscriber. So again, let me remind you while I'm stopped, leaving the news out is a major way that the narrative management matrix works on all of us. What it doesn't tell us can be more important than what it does tell us. Back to the story. What all of this says to me is that party officials have successfully distracted everyone, or the left coalition in Washington is committed to repeating 2009, keeping quiet and deferring to a new Democratic president no matter what he does. Indeed, it seems so many political leaders, operatives, pundits, and party tryhards are so busy cheering and angling for their next job that deference is now the overarching ideology. Nero fiddled while Rome burns, Trump golfs while a pandemic rages, and Democratic politicos in Washington prioritize their quest for their next White House gigs as the devastating ideology of austerity comes back to life. And David is soft-pedaling this a little bit. He's not coming right out and saying that our favorite far-left politicians are just as guilty as the centrists. Bernie and AOC aren't screaming their heads off about this either. And while I'm at it, let me read you Crystal Ball's tweet from yesterday. She says, "There is no excuse for this," as she retweets Eliza Collins saying, "Sanders declines to endorse in the Massachusetts Senate primary. Pelosi endorsed Kennedy today. Bernie says nice things about his colleague Ed Markey, who is a progressive, but says he's not going to weigh in." And Crystal's right. There is no excuse for this. Bernie sucks up to Chuck Schumer because he wants committee appointments, and AOC sucks up to Mama Bear Pelosi for the same sorts of reasons. There is no left in politics right now. Everybody's sucking up for the next job or committee appointment. Back to David. This does not augur well for the future. On a personal level, I don't particularly enjoy the experience of TMI being one of the very few news outlets that has the guts to report inconvenient facts about Biden. It's not a pleasant experience. You get crapped on all day, every day, and I so appreciate our supporting subscribers pitching in to help us do this work. But damn it, some people have to do it or there's going to be a disaster. Biden stomping on his own campaign pledges and loading up the Democratic convention with GOP icons threatens to deflate voter enthusiasm, raising the possibility that Trump gets reelected or we see something even worse in the future. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If Democrats win this election and 2020 is a repeat of 2009, then 2024 is going to be a repeat of 2016, only with a much smarter version of Trump winning the presidency. Imagine that for a minute. Deferring to the Democratic establishment, sitting quietly when the destructive ideology of austerity is now renormalized, is intolerable. The alarms need to be sounded now. Deference is not acceptable. So if you'd like to help, why don't you tweet this episode to all the people who most need to hear David's message? That would be really useful. Update. Biden's team has now issued a statement in response to TMI spotlighting Kaufman's comments. This is from David Dayan. Andrew Bates, Biden campaign rapid response director, gave me the following statement regarding Ted Kaufman's comments in the Wall Street Journal that Biden would be limited in his fiscal actions in 2021 because of the budget deficit. As Joe Biden has said repeatedly in underscoring the enormity of this crisis and outlining his bold strategy for unprecedented investments in American competitiveness and our middle class, there will of course be stimulus spending in the short term to repair the historic damage Donald Trump has done to our economy. Not acceptable. The damage has been done by Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and George W. Bush and Joe Biden. So they're blaming it all on Donald Trump. The damage Donald Trump has done to our economy and to build back better. In the long run, Biden would ensure the ongoing costs of his agenda are paid for by having the wealthiest taxpayers and big corporations pay their fair share. Although he's not going to insist, he's going to try to talk them into it, the way Elizabeth Warren would. To pay their fair share for the future of our country, which is consistent with what Senator Kaufman said. Bullshit. That's one thing people don't realize about Elizabeth Warren enough, is that she wags her finger, but she really believes in the end that she can talk Wall Street into doing the right thing. And Joe Biden has said over and over again that he's not going to enact legislation to rein in Wall Street. He thinks they're going to rein themselves in. That's what we're up against. Nathan Tankus reacts to the Biden statement. This is completely unacceptable. I don't want a QAnon president in 2024. The fiscal policy we need is much greater than short-term stimulus, and committing to long-run austerity is horrendous and amounts to a commitment to cut Medicare and Social Security. That's the part nobody's talking about. Austerity has always meant in Biden's past that he's going to try to cut Social Security and Medicare. We've got him on tape saying it over and over again. That's the natural outcome of austerity thinking. So now we'll give Kate the last word. She has a short piece here on how narrative management works. Saudi Arabia is just an honest America. Notes from the Edge of the Narrative Matrix by Caitlin Johnstone. Saudi Arabia is just an honest version of America. The tyranny is right out in the open. State censorship is straightforward instead of being outsourced to Silicon Valley. That's the truth. The oligarchs and the official government are the same people. They don't pretend their wars are humanitarian, and they just directly murder journalists they dislike instead of using a fake judicial system to do it. Ooh. Her comments move along from topic to topic. The whole thing isn't just about Saudi Arabia. She gives us all sorts of little tidbits on how the narrative is managed. Yemen is one of her favorite topics. Look at Yemen with fresh eyes and it will haunt your dreams and fill you with mountain-moving rage. That's why people don't. That's why people should. Steal from the wealthy and give a bit to your friend and they'll call you a thief. Steal from the working class and give it to agendas you approve of, and they'll call you a philanthropist. Hey, Bill Gates. Placing yourself in the ideological center between two corporatist warmongering parties doesn't make you a centrist. It makes you a corporatist warmonger. Watching liberals fake enthusiasm for Biden-Harris is like watching women fake enthusiasm in really gross porn. Come on, darling. You're clearly only in this because you're badly traumatized and got manipulated into an exploitative situation where you felt like you had no choice. Hillary lost because she was a shit candidate and her supporters didn't phone bank enough. If Biden loses, it will be for the exact same reasons. Stop trying to blame a small, powerless slice of the political spectrum which has nothing in common with you and your shit candidates. I hope we're not a small, powerless slice. In my opinion, Kate is pretty mighty. You know how liberals have spent 4 years screaming at you for not voting for Hillary, and how it doesn't bother you in the slightest, and you relish the taste of their tears? FYI, that's all they can do if you refuse to vote for Biden, too. People only ever think you're wrong to reject mainstream politics and media because they have no idea how fucked things really are. It's not the most famous mainstream media lies that do the most damage. It's the little ones they tell many times every day via spin, omission, half-truth, and distortion, which cause everyone to accept the idea that this batshit crazy status quo is normal and inescapable. The powerful use ideologies as tools to manipulate mainstream narratives to their advantage. Religious fundamentalism, Zionism, racism, anti-racism, liberalism, conservatism, they'll use anything they can. Pay less attention to the tools and more to what they're being used for. Racists and QAnoners will follow you around and keep talking to you like they're your friend, even while you verbally abuse them. Leftists will write you off forever the instant you say something they don't like. This dynamic helps someone, and it ain't the left. I really wish I lived in this alternate universe people keep talking about, where the worst thing about America is Donald Trump. Establishment guard dogs dislike Trump not because he's ending the wars, he isn't, nor because he opposes establishment interests, he doesn't, but because he's a poor narrative manager and all too often leaves the ugly face of empire fully exposed. They dislike him for the same reason mobsters would dislike a mob boss who's constantly yelling in public about how they're all gonna go out and do a bunch of nasty mobster stuff. Trump just puts it out in the open. I don't criticize governments outside the U.S. centralized empire for the same reason the world's fattest man doesn't go around telling other people to lose weight. If you're part of a globe-spanning power alliance that is far worse than anyone else, it's gross to point fingers. If you knew a violent, sadistic, kleptomaniac, and compulsive liar, you'd probably find yourself siding against that person on most points of contention. If you really understand what the U.S. empire is and what it does, you'll feel the same way. A powerful institution made up a bunch of silly, arbitrary rules and sent out a bunch of deeply unconscious human beings to enforce those rules, so naturally it became very abusive. This is the story of the Catholic Church. It's also the story of the criminal justice system. I don't know how to live. Haven't the foggiest notion how to go about it. Yet life happens anyway. This life lives itself anyway. There's a lesson in there. You can always just quit. Give up trying to manage your life, your mind, your emotional state. You might just find that the cells you are made of are a lot more capable and magical than you'd realized, and the managing was only ever getting in their way. One eye sees that this thing is so very, very, very much bigger than politics and the struggles of tiny primates on a spinning blue marble. The other eye sees that, of course, these struggles matter from the perspective that they matter. Clear 3D vision means having both eyes open.